I want to come and I want to minister to you that there's a mission for the church. The church is not just some body of believers who gather together on Sunday morning and we can take up a few hours of our time. There's a purpose why God sent the church into the earth, and you have been receiving something from that church because you're here this morning. But there's a purpose, and that's called winning the lost. The purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is to win the lost. Not to teach the saints. That's part of the purpose. That's something we do to reach the mission. But the mission of the church is to reach the lost. To glorify God and to reach the lost. That's why the church exists. You see, this is all going to wrap up and then we're going to go to heaven and do what God wants us to do there. But before that happens, people need to be born again. And you are the product, if you're born again, you are the product of other Christians doing the mission of the church. And now, some of those people have gone on to be with the Lord, and it's our turn. And I came this morning to exhort you. You know, I prayed about, God, what are we talking about? God, what are we doing? God, what's going on? What are we going to say? And all I get is, I want to exhort you that we have to do the mission. Now's the time. I mean, I didn't tell Pastor Donnie what I was going to preach on, but he basically prophesied, you know, what I wanted to say. Because now is the time. We have to do something. Ashland, out there, there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus in this city. I mean, we're thinking about moving to a little town. I found an apartment, and so we had to move to one town because that's where the apartment was. But we're going to move to a littler town, to 6,000 people in there. There's 15 churches in that town. And that's probably, if you counted them up in Ashland, there's probably 40 or something in Ashland. There's a lot of churches here, but there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus here. Because it's not about how many buildings there are, it's about how many Christians there are. And how many people who are in church this morning have never won one person to the Lord in their entire life. That should not be the case. And I look at my own life and I have to think back. I've taught a lot of people, but I've not won a lot of people. That's not going to continue in the future. You know, something that Pastor Donnie did, these little cards, the little cards out there, they look like business cards, but they're really witnessing cards. This was an idea that I talked to him about that I got from somebody else. It's not original with me. And it probably wasn't original with the guy I got it from either. But this is something, because it's the opportunity to say, hey, why don't you come to our church? And you can take this little card and you can give it to somebody, and it's because it's small, they'll probably put it in their pocket and not throw it on the ground. And then because it's in their pocket, it'll find its way to their house. And then they'll throw it on the table because, again, it's small, so it's not some big flyer that you think, I got to get rid of this thing because it's cluttering up the table. So they'll put it down and they'll leave it there, and then they'll see that and they'll be reminded to come to church. See, there's got to be things that there are practical ways of reaching the lost. It's just not going to happen all by itself. It's going to happen because Christians become believing that we have the best message on the planet. So stop and let's think about, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. That's what the whole thing's about. Jesus died for you. And the world, they say, well, we don't want to hear it. But really, they do. That's what they want to hear. Because if you get the real message, not what church has been, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. The message is, we've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And they'll say, you're saying I'm not right. I'm telling you, I wasn't right either. And then one day I heard somebody took me to church. And I got there, and then I went there for 3 months. And it was a church about like this, and they were all black, and I was the only white guy who went there. And I stood out like a sore thumb. And it was a woman who got me there. And they would simply say, Andy, do you want to get saved? Because I was the only sinner in the whole building. And they went on, and I went there, but the love of God in those people touched my life. And I was permanently changed from that day forward. And it went on for 3 months. I would go, and these people knew how to win the lost because their pastor taught them. He said to them all the time, give someone an opportunity, share the message of Jesus with them. And then don't just say, well, come to church with me. Say, would you like to see Jesus right now? So everybody in there knew how to witness to people, and they all took their turn with me. And they all heard me say no. And as I was there, but I would come, and I kept coming, and I kept coming because of the love of God in those people. They loved me into the kingdom. Now, I heard the message so many times that I could preach it to somebody before I got born again. But there was a day where I finally decided what was in those people I had to have. Well, see, there are people in Ashland with that same problem. There are people in Ashland who need to hear what you have. And they're just waiting for you to be bold enough to share it with them. Now, we can go into all the things that Christians think about people who are out there. Well, they won't listen to me. They might do something to me. They might complain. They might do this. They might not do any of those things. We got to quit letting the devil convince us that they don't want to hear our message, because they are dying to hear our message. And if we don't get the message to them, they will die. And it will be serious for them, because they will go to hell. And there's not enough preaching today about the fact that this is a book that's a real book. And it's not just, it's not a book, it's a real story. That's what I want to say. It really happened. Jesus really came. He really died on a cross. I don't care what kind of movies they make or what they say in Hollywood about it. It really happened. The testimony to it is not a miracle. It's changed lives. And there are multiple millions of people who have listened to the message, and their life is different today. Amen. I was that sinner who stood in the pew, and I sat in the back with my girlfriend at the time, and I didn't believe anything that they had to say. I did not believe the Word of God before I got to church. I got there because she was going there, and she was willing to take me with her there. It was a long story. I won't go into that part of it. But when I got there, I heard something. Not the first day, but over and over. I mean, the love of God was in those people. And they accepted me. Now think about it. I'm in the military. I'm in Japan. That's where this happened. And there's other military woman who was, we had been dating a little bit beforehand, and we broke up. And then I was heartbroken because of it. And she started going back to church. And so I started going. She came by one day and she says, I'm going to go to church. Do you want to go? I was willing to go anywhere this woman wanted me to go with her. But so I said yes, and I had shorts and a t-shirt on and tennis shoes, because these people didn't care what I wore when I got there. And I got in the back, and I sit down and I listen to them. And again, it has nothing, it's not necessarily important to the story, but it's funny part of it is I was the only white guy there. They're all black. And I'm not saying that for your benefit, I'm just telling you this story, okay? And they loved Jesus. And they all witnessed to me, and they all shared with me. But the most thing that they did to me is they accepted me. They didn't tell me the ways I lived was right, because sin is sin. But they let me in the building, and they accepted me. And when they had dinner, they invited me. And when they had an outing on the beach, we're in Okinawa, Japan, there's plenty of beach, okay? They had an outing on the beach, they invited me, and they picked me up and took me. What am I trying to say? They cared about me. We've got to quit looking at ourselves and looking at the world. They need us. Amen. They may not think that they do, but they need us. And they brought me to church. And the love of God on the inside of them spoke to my heart. And I went there. And she had picked me up on Sunday. And then she had picked me up on Wednesday. And then one time she came on Sunday. She says, I can't go to church today. I have to work. And I said, can I borrow your car? I'm going to go whether you go or not. It was no longer the reason why I was going. I was going because there was something offered to me there. The love of God in those people spoke to my heart. People's lives, they're open if you minister on the wavelength of love. If you speak in love, you're going to touch their hearts. Now you need to teach the message. We don't change the message to feed anybody's life. There are some things in the world that are just wrong. Sin is sin. On the way down here, Glenn and I were talking. Glenn sits in the front now because Ears has to deal with the baby in the back. And so we were talking, and I said, people want to say, use the woman caught in adultery and say, Jesus said, oh, see, it was okay. This happened to you. He never said it was okay. He never said that the lifestyle these people lived was okay. He said he forgave them. There's a big difference in showing mercy and then saying how they live is okay. But Jesus is willing and waiting to show mercy to anybody who would come. Anybody who will say, I want some of that. The requirement, though, is to repent and to receive. And see, the problem is with what's going on in America is the Christians are afraid. They're not saying anything. And the world's making up their own ideas about how it works. That's not how it works. We need to be bold today. Recently, we had this little bitty apartment. The whole apartment would fit in this room. We went to a fairly big apartment in Mount Vernon. And I crammed everything into every nook and cranny. There's stuff stacked on everything. But I get up in the morning, and I go out in my living room and I pray before I go to work. And that was going okay for a couple of weeks. And then I went out there and I went to pray and I laid on the floor. And I used to get a blanket because I don't like to be cold when I pray. And I get a blanket and I'm laying on the floor. And I laid down to pray and I said, Lord, I want to tell you that I love you. And I thank you. And started praying. And he goes, what are you doing? And I wasn't quite sure how to answer that question when the Lord asks you, what are you doing? And you're praying. That might not be a good thing for you. And then I saw Brother Hagin teaching on being specific in prayer. And I had like a mini vision on the inside of me of being in a class with Brother Hagin about being specific in prayer. And that's what God was saying. What are you doing? You're just having a general prayer and you're getting a general result and you can't tell that God's doing anything because you're not specific about what you want. And what I wanted to come talk to you about this morning and the time we have left is praying for the lost. Praying for the harvest in Ashland. See, there's a harvest assigned to this church in Ashland. And if you don't reap them, they're going to go to hell. Now, this is not about guilt, but it's about reality. I've been in church a long time now. The story I told you happened in 1989 when I came to the Lord, and I finally did get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost in that church, and I was still the only white guy who went there. But the last time I heard, they had it was a large place. It was a multiracial place, and the last time I talked to them was one of those people, which was a long time ago. But a lot of times in church, people forget that the world, if they don't know Jesus, their outcome when they die is they go to hell. A place that God never intended anybody to go. No human was ever supposed to go to this place. It was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Those who rebelled against God, spiritually speaking, and over there, well, they knew what they were doing and they did it anyway. Well, if you don't know Jesus, that's what happens to you, even if you lived a good life. Because it's not about a good life, it's about being born again. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. Not, I suggest you get born again. If that don't work out for you, maybe it'll, you can, Muhammad will be the way for you. That's not how it works. I mean, I don't care what the world says. That's not how it works. It only works how God says it works, and it works by being born again. And I realize this message is probably going to come over a little more heavier than I anticipate, but sometimes that's good. We need to slack out of our chain and realize there are people relying on us, and we have to do our part for them. If we don't, no one will stand up and do their part. You know, now we have some things in America that are going on. There are people who are standing up finally politically about some of the things that go on here. Thank God for them. But it's time that the church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has stood up and say, we're not taking it any longer. We're going to proclaim it whether you like it or not. I don't mean to be militant. I don't mean to be mean, because I'm talking about loving people. But I'm talking about proclaiming the message whether they want us to hear it or not. If they can get on TV and say the things that they want to say, then the rest of us can do what we want to do too. And it's not just about here, it's about everywhere. I spent 4 years on the mission field in Brazil. My wife was a Brazilian. I'm permanently attached to Brazil. I mean, just like Pastor Donnie's permanently attached to Korea. He don't go there as much as I go to Brazil, but you know, that's what happens when you're a missionary. But the harvest needs to be reaped in every country. Not just in Pakistan, not just in Brazil, not just in Korea. There's a harvest here in Ashland. There's people who need to be born again here. There's people probably across the street who never heard about Jesus. When I was a child, I lived in Texas. I was originally from Texas. My grandmother lived in Azle. That may mean nothing to you, but guess what's in Azle? Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He calls it Eagle Mountain. That's the same lake. It's the same lake. Azle is over here. Eagle Mountain's over here. She lived like a couple of miles from there. I never heard about Jesus until I was 22. Just because those people live down the street don't mean that they've ever heard about Jesus. Just because they live next to the Methodist church don't mean they've ever been inside it. We lived across the street from a Methodist church. We used to go inside and play every once in a while. We didn't go to church there. It lives across the parking lot from my house. You don't know who doesn't know Jesus, and you don't know who does until you ask them. You can take these little cards with you, and you can walk up to somebody, and you can say, I just wanted to know if you knew Jesus. If you don't, well, this is a good place you can find it. You don't have to go into a big doctrinal thing, and you can leave it up to them from there. Now, if you're prompted and you're a little more bold, and maybe you'll get more bold as you continue with that, you might say, well, you know, you can know Jesus. And they say, well, I don't know anything about Jesus. And you could simply say, well, you know, this is what happened in my life. I came and I heard that he would set sinners free, and I was doing these things, and I didn't think that was the way to live. And then I gave my life to him, and my life was changed. That's called being a witness. It's called having a testimony. Amen. You know, I have a testimony because before I found myself in that church, I was your typical military guy, you know, drank a little, cussed a lot, you know, didn't do some of the things other people did were in the military, but you know, I was going to hell just like everybody else was. You know, after I got born again, I was pretty excited about the whole message. And I witnessed to all the people that I had worked with. And I witnessed to other people I worked with when I was in the military. But somewhere along the line, that stopped. That should not be the case. We should be out proclaiming the gospel everywhere we go. Now, I'm going to hopefully, I'm going to read a scripture here, but we're not getting there yet. Like I said, I came to exhort you. I didn't plan on saying any of this, okay? We need to get out of these four walls and witness to people. And we have to realize that as long as you're breathing, you're still got a job to do. Amen. It's not over just because you're in the retirement years of your life. God's idea of retiring is you leave this place and go on to heaven. God didn't set 65 and okay, you pastors can all retire and go, you know, play golf every day. And, you know, show up on Sunday and make the people in front of the front, you know, kind of, you know, well, that was a pretty good sermon, but maybe you could have changed this, maybe you could have changed that. Paul said, you know, I have a desire to depart with be with Christ, but you know, I don't know how it's going to go with me, but that's far better to do that. But, you know, I'm going to stay and do some more labor, and then I'll do that later on, because more labor will be good for you. Well, there are people who are waiting to hear what we have to say. I mean, Pastor Donnie's been preaching, I know, on teaching y'all on this morning. I was listening. I came early and I was standing out there listening. I didn't want to let y'all know I was out there because I didn't want to cause them, you know, I didn't want to stop what was going on. So I knew the women would go, oh, Thomas is out there. Let's go see Thomas. You know, and but it was good. And if you come and you hear that, but you need to go act on it. See, it's not just about coming and being trained. You're trained for a reason. You take that training and you go out and you apply it to Walmart, to Geyer's, or Hawkins, or whatever they decide that the name of that building is today. It's got one thing on the outside and two, it's a different thing on the inside. But they have awesome chicken. Their fried chicken is awesome, I can testify. It's good warm and it's good cold. I've eaten it numerous times in my life. But you need to take this message to the people who are out there. Take it out there and proclaim it. Now let's look at a verse here in Ephesians. Now I know this is different for most of y'all because I'm normally a quiet teacher. But Ephesians 6, verse 18. Says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to proclaim all of my doctrine, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may make it, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We can pray for the harvest, and you can pray for the pastor. Any minister that gets up here, you need to pray that they have utterance in the Holy Ghost. That they get up here and it's not just their words that come out of them, but it's the words inspired by the Spirit of God that has the ability to reach into a human and touch their heart. Amen. To touch where they live and speak to them. And they came to Jesus and they said, they sent these guards down there to basically to arrest him. And they got down there and they came back and they said, well, where is he? They said, no one ever spoke like that man. No one ever spoke like him. And there's other verses that said they weren't able to resist the words with which they spoke. Because when you speak by the Spirit of God, you can speak into the spirit of a man. You can reach into his heart and touch them, things that a human words cannot do. The Holy Ghost goes into I've been in services where they start speaking, and I guarantee that it was like reading my mail. You know, like they knew more about what was going on in my life, and they're just talking. And they spoke into my life, and it touched me. It changed something on the inside of me to that day in Okinawa, I realized I had to have what they had. There was something different on the inside of them than was on the inside of me, and I wanted it. And it produced a hunger on the inside of me. Well, you can do the same thing. You can do it for Pastor Donnie. You can do it for Brother Joe when he gets up here to speak by praying that he have utterance in the Holy Ghost. And it ministers to the people here. If you're not bold enough, bro, bring them here. They'll hear the message. This woman, she didn't witness to me. She took me there. That was a viable thing. It was pretty important in my life. And I've ministered to numerous people. I ran a Bible school in Brazil. I pastored a church in Brazil. I am sort of like the missionary nomad. I've lived in six states in three countries. And I have a hub here apparently in Ashland. I keep coming back and talking to Pastor Donnie again. But you're not going to need you to encourage you the next time. You're going to already have a full place of people here. You need to rise up and do what God called you to do. So here we see that you can pray, and you can pray for the pastor, but you can pray for the harvest. Look over here in James. We'll give you a couple of scriptures before I get out of here. James 5. We'll start here in verse 16. James 5, 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation says, the earnest, heartfelt supplication of a righteous man produces tremendous power in its working. Prayer that comes up out of your spirit and takes hold of the Word of God and brings it back to heaven produces power. It produces power that's going to be released sometime in the future. When you pray and you touch heaven, things will change. But you're going to have to be specific about it. Like I said, God said, what are you doing? And I realized I wasn't being specific about what I was praying for. And I wasn't taking the Word of God and bringing it back to Him. I was just talking. Which, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but if we want to get results, we need to be more specific. And the funny thing is, I got a letter from Rick Renner Ministries. I like Rick Renner, and I get his stuff. It was about being specific in prayer. I read it yesterday. And he said, you know, some really interesting things about that. He says, if you can't articulate it to somebody else, maybe it's not specific enough. If you can't sit down and if you can't take what you prayed about and know what you're supposed to do about it, then it wasn't specific enough. In other words, if you gave these instructions written down to somebody else, do they know what you wanted them to produce? If I gave you instructions about how to fix a doorknob, I better have something about a doorknob and some tools on the sheet, right? Not just God bless so-and-so. So we need to be specific and bold in our prayers. We've been invited to come into the throne room of heaven. Turn over to, Hebrews 4. Keep your place there, we might come back. Hebrews 4. See if we can find where I'm going here. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let us come meekly and let us come cowardly and not sure that God's going to receive us to the throne of grace. Is that what it says? It says, let us come boldly. The word boldly means basically confidently before the throne of heaven and make our petitions known. What I want to talk to you about is there is something we need to do in that area before we go out and we hand out these cards. We need to ask for the harvest of Ashland. We need to ask for the harvest. There's an entire university of people who come there from all over the planet, and none of them are in this building except for Joseph and a few friends he brings every once in a while. Now, Sarah went through there and some other people went through there, but this place should be full of some of those people over there. They need Jesus as much as anybody else, and touching their lives can spread the gospel who knows where. The guy who runs what? LG. Is it LG? That's the one it was. It was LG, right? Not Samsung. Went to school here, right? It was LG. LG. The CEO of LG, you know, makes televisions, went to school here in Ashland. Think about if we would have won him for the Lord. He runs it in a multinational company. There's an opportunity at this university that we're not tapping into. Now, I didn't come here to step on anybody's toes, but I realize I am, okay? I was a member of this church, too. I didn't run any of them either. I went to Taco Bell on a regular basis. They all go over there. There's a bunch of people hanging out over there. I didn't win any of them to the Lord. Shame on me, in a sense. But there's no shame. There's just repent, and that's all under the blood, and we go on to do the next thing. God's not interested in who to blame. He's interested in you getting in the game. He's interested in you saying, okay, I didn't do it. He says, okay, we forgive that. I'm interested in you getting up and going and doing it today. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and I don't know where it's at, but it talks about a man had two sons. And he said to one son, go and do this in the field. And the son said, yeah, Dad, I'll do that. And he said to the other son, son, go do this in the field. And the son said, no, I won't. And the son who said, yes, he would, he did not go. And the son who said, no, he won't, changed his mind and did go. Who did the will of the father? The second one. The one who said, no, he wouldn't go. It's about action, not talk. It's about getting out in there. Okay, so you can say, well, you know, a lot of times going along off. You know, I came off the mission field in 2005. I was here in Ashland. We actually was in Lexington back then. And then I moved to North Carolina for 4 years. And then I was here for about 9 months. And now I live in Indiana. It's pretty normal for my life. I've moved every 2 years since I was 12. I'm almost 50. I am, they call me the nomad at home, so they ask when we're going to buy a house, and I say, I'm making no guarantees that's going to happen here either, okay? It may never happen. But the point is, it's not about what you said you would do, it's about doing something. And all that, and since I've been on the mission, I can't say that I want anyone to the Lord. It's been like 7 years. I've talked to people about Christ, I've taught people. That's been good. There was a lot of God involved with those things. But there's a loss that has to be won. There's people that I want to see in heaven because I had a part to play in it. I have a personal stake in this thing. I want to see people born again. It's not about notches on my belt. It's about souls in heaven. Because when I get to heaven and I couldn't bring anything that I had naturally had down here, I want to turn around and say, I brought these people with me. And it's not. I'm not going to turn around and it's going to be three. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, you see that those people behind me? He goes, yeah, I brought them with me. And I hope that you say the same thing. And I hope that, you know, that you reach somebody wherever you are. Because, see, you have a sphere of influence that I don't have. You know people I don't know. You know people who are never going to come listen to some crazy Texan, you know, minister in a church. But you have the opportunity to speak into their lives about Jesus. It's not profound doctrine that you need to proclaim. It's simply there are things that are wrong on the earth, and if you do these things, that makes you wrong. But really, see, you were born that way. But there's a way of escape about that. God did something about it. He loved you, and he wanted you to come into the kingdom, so he sent his son to take the penalty of your sin. And if you accept that, you'll get born again, and your life will be different. It won't be all rosy, because it sometimes is a rocky road from the things you were to where you're going. But if you do that, you will go to heaven. It's a real simple message, and a lot of people need to hear it. In America, people are sending missionaries to America. The point is, the message needs to get preached here as well as anywhere else. I don't want anybody to go to hell from Ashland, and God has to look at them and say, well, you know, those churches in Ashland didn't do their part, and so you're here. That's not going to be the case. The Bible says that we're watchmen on a wall proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming what needs to happen. And if it's up to me from now on to the day I die, no one's going to hell on my watch. I had to get a lot more bold than I have been. I got to get a lot more convinced that the message is worth hearing and worth proclaiming everywhere I go, whether they want to hear it or not. Now, you can't do some things on your job, you get fired. Use some wisdom. I have got some people to come back to church just because I lived right in front of them. You'd be surprised if you live right and you stand upright. Recently at work, I am a computer programmer. When I'm in the secular world, I'm a computer programmer. And they weren't doing proper encryption on their credit card information. There's rules about all that stuff. Visa has rules. They all have rules, and it's really boring. But I stood up and said, they want us to sign a piece of paper, said we were applying by and by all the rules. And I said, I won't sign. And they said, well, I thought we talked about this yesterday. I said, I'm not signing. I agreed to y'all. I listened to what y'all said about it yesterday, but I changed my mind. I'm not signing. Well, why not? Because we're not doing that. It's a lie. I'm not signing my name to that because it's not true. And they said, well, what do you think we need to do? I said, well, we need to look through the code and find out where the places are need to be encrypted. And they said, well, okay, go do that. And so I spent the next 2 weeks doing that. And then I wrote the encryption routines. It was noticed by people. I stood up for something. People notice when you do that. What makes that guy different? Why does he... I mean, we could have just fired the guy. Get rid of this guy. We don't need him around here. Now, that's a small thing, but the reason I bring that up is in the military. I was like that in the military. I was like that when I worked at the bank. And they would say, well, we're gonna do this. I said, well, I'm not doing that. I mean, they came and they said, we're going to have this United Way campaign. And I said, I don't believe in the United Way because they give a lot of money to Planned Parenthood and they're for abortions. And I don't believe in abortion. They said, well, we're going to have 100% participation if you don't do it. I said, well, that's too bad, I guess. And the CEO called me from the bank. At the time, the head of the American Banking Association, that's what they were. And they said, aren't you going to give some money? I said, no. They said, well, we'll give money in your name. I said, I'll go across the street and tell the advocate, that the newspaper, that you did so. Because you're not giving it my name. You can give some more of your own money if you want to, but you're not giving it to me. I'm not doing it. You can fire me if you want to, but I'm not doing it. People notice when you do those kinds of things. And I was in the military. There was a guy that you think you don't have any influence over people's lives just because you're living your life and just, in a sense, minding your own business. There was this guy who was backslidden. I mean, pretty big time. He was sleeping around and doing a number of things. And he had a really nice wife and family, but he didn't seem to care. And at work, I was his replacement. I mean, I had replaced him not favorably. And I thought, of all people, I have no witness with was this guy, because I probably had run, and jobless had run his life. And I was getting ready, I worked there for a couple of years, and I was getting ready to, and I knew he had gone back to church, and he kind of turned his life around. And I was getting ready to move from there, and he said to me one day, he says, I want you to know, I went back to church because of you. Because you would stand up for things that other people didn't stand up for. And you would do the right thing when other people didn't care. And he's back in church then. I don't know where he's at now. It was a long time ago. But you don't know who's watching your life. You don't know where the words you spoke ministered to those people. This is another bizarre example of you don't know what happens, what God can do if you're willing to let God use you. I went on a mission trip to Norway a long time ago, back in the early 90s. And on this trip, I met a person who knew some friends of mine. We had mutual friends, and so we were talking about them. And he says, well, when you see them again, tell them I said hi. Seemed like a very benign thing to do. And I got back from my trip, and it was just a few days later, and I saw the wife. She was a waitress, which I thought was kind of shocking. I mean, not that there's nothing wrong with being a waitress, but that's not something she normally did. She was a waitress at this Denny's. And so we ate. Me and my mom were there. We ate. And I came up to her afterwards, and I said, you know, I saw so-and-so on this trip, some well-known person that they know. And he said to say hi. To me, it was a very nonchalant thing that I did. And I went on my life A few months later, I saw them again, and they said, you remember the day you came into Denny's? And I said, yeah, so. She goes, you said hi. When you said hi to me, that this man said hi to you, the anointing was released, and my whole life was changed. And now they're pastors in California somewhere. All I said was hi. That this guy said, say hi. I delivered a message from somebody I already know to somebody else I already know. My point is, God wants to use you. These are not stories for me and Pastor Donnie, because I was just a person just like you once upon a time. God wants to use every one of you. There's people at Walmart waiting to have a connection with you and have an encounter with God in the middle of the frozen food section. And their testimony could be, I was in the frozen food, and I don't mean any offense to this, but I'm going to say it this way. This little old lady came in the frozen food, and she just had her cart, and she ran into mine. I thought, this lady is clueless. And she looked over and she said, do you know Jesus? And my whole life was changed. That's how it's supposed to happen. We are the salt, and we're supposed to get out of the shaker. Amen. But let's get one more verse, and let's turn to Psalms. Psalms 2. I want you to see this one. I want you to turn there. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the front pew in front of you somewhere, I think. Psalms, you can find it. It's in the Old Testament. It's not hard to find. It's a large book. Psalms 2. And I want you to see verse 8. It says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. God is asking you to pray for the harvest. He is desiring you to pray for the harvest. And as we said earlier, as I said earlier, you can come boldly. He needs you to come boldly and say, Lord, give me some harvest. Some of those souls in Ashland, they belong to me. I want to be the one to lead them to you. That's how we need to be, specific. You can get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want you to send somebody, one person today across my path that I can witness to. If you're not that bold, you say, you can use this week, okay? You're in charge of what comes out of your mouth, not me. I want it to be the fact that when I come back here next time, there's people I don't know. That they got born again, and they didn't come from some other church to this one. They came out of the world to this one. There should be new births happening in this place. And that's not, again, it's not condemnation to anybody. I'm in the same boat that you're in. But I'm determined I'm not going to stay in this situation. I'm going to change. Why don't we stand up and we're going to ask. If you're not committed to that, go ahead and stand up so you won't stick out, but you can keep your mouth shut, okay? Because this is serious. Put yourself in my shoes for a moment. I was praying and God said, what are you doing? How do you answer the creator of the universe when you think you're praying and he says, what are you doing? So we're going to pray that God would give this church, you, the harvest in this area. Why don't you lead that? You're the pastor of this church, not me.
Father, we thank you. You're such a great and mighty God. And right now we come
thank
to you.
Thank you, Father.
Right now, give us the harvest in this area. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Today, there's a harvest out there for them.
Thank you, Father God.
I need to reveal to them where to go. What to do.
How to say the utterance in the Holy Ghost, Father, for those people, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Utterance, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
So use each and every person here, Lord, in a great and mighty way.
Thank you, Father.
Harvesters of the great harvest.
Thank you, Father.
And we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you right now, Lord, for increase in your kingdom.
Thank you, Father.
We're going to fill up heaven.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Father. Increase the National Faith Family Church.
Thank you, Father.
We just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to pray right quick, and then we'll go out and have a dessert, cake, pie. I'm going to have pie. I'm not having cake. Father, I just pray for them. I pray for this church, Father God, that's got a special place in my heart, Lord. Father, that boldness would come upon them. Boldness like never before, Father, to proclaim the gospel in Ashland. Father God, just give them divine understanding. Give them divine plans. Give them divine wisdom on how to reach the lost in this city, Lord. That there'd be a day, Father, this would mark a day in heaven, Father, where things changed in Ashland. Father God, the glory would come upon this place, come upon Pastor Donnie, upon Joe, Father God, upon the people of this church, Father, that they would find themselves being bold for Christ, and they would be this like me, Father, surprised that happened to them, Father. That they would find themselves proclaiming the gospel, Father, where they go to eat or when they go into Walmart, Father. That they would come upon them, Father God, and people in this city would know, oh, that's that church over there on Scott Street. That's that place that used to be that little Methodist church. They're bold over there. They're bold. If you want to get healed, you can go over to that place and you'll get healed. If you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, that place can do it because they know God over there. There would be sinners in this city, Father God, who would have to have that testimony because they hear that going on in Ashland, Lord. I ask you to minister to these people, Father God. Make them bold like never before. Put an utterance upon their lips, Father God, to speak forth the word of God. Let boldness come upon them and courageousness, Father. And a confidence knowing that as they step out, you'll be with them. Father, as you prophesied through me this months ago, Father God, we needed to reach forth our hand. Help them to do so, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.